This is New England Public Radio. I'm Carrie Healy. Tanglewood, Jacob's Pillow, Mass Mocha, all go-to places in the Berkshires. But Chesterwood, once the summer studio of sculptor Daniel Chester French, is perhaps more of a hidden gem. The Stockbridge property is celebrating its 50th year as a historic site. New England Public Radio's Nancy Cohen reports that although neither the place nor the sculptor are well known, French's artwork is.
Many of Daniel Chester French's works are monuments, invoking lofty ideas. Take the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Most visitors don't know much or anything about the artist, but they bring their own perspectives on American history to French's vision when he designed the massive seated president.
I see a man who's thinking about the difficult choices he had to make.
That's Matt Bone from West Valley, Utah. Jane Halday, visiting from Brooklyn, says the statue showcases what African Americans have been through.
Having someone fight for us who wasn't personally the color of our own skin. And it's just totally amazing to see where this country once were and where it is now. Even though we still have a long way to go, the difference.
The statue is instructive, says Ana Pena from Washington, D.C., who's here with her sons Anthony and Alonzo.
You have the power to design your life and choose the right thing to do as Lincoln did, and hoping I can teach that lesson to my boys.
The man who made this very public art worked for 6 months of the year tucked away in a studio in the Berkshires.
Wow.
This is a unique building. There is not another building like this in the United States.
Donna Hassler, the director of Chesterwood, leads the way into French's studio with its 26-foot high ceiling, tall enough to accommodate a statue of George Washington on a horse, the first piece French worked on here, above our big north-facing skylights.
Which allowed a certain type of light. A very even light. It didn't cast harsh shadows.
Perhaps because French depicted human figures in their best light, both idealized and realistic.
Look at his foot.
Hassler points out a figure carved in relief representing knowledge. The figure is shown balancing a book over a strong shoulder. It now graces a bronze door at the Boston Public Library.
The veins are showing in his foot. I mean, it's so realistic. This figure could pop off of the plaster relief and be here in life.
French's work achieved more than realism. It inspired people, and his studio was designed to help him envision his work as the public would see it. The floorboards flip open to reveal a mini train track that leads outside where he wheeled his sculptures.
He wanted to work in the natural light of the day. He also wanted to get the perspective of walking away from the figure and seeing it from different angles.
Here at Chesterwood, French could see his work from quite a distance. He owned 150 acres.
He referred to Chesterwood as heaven. He said, I spend 6 months of every year in heaven, and the other 6 months I live in New York.
That's Harold Holzer, author of Monument Man, a recently published biography of French. He says the landscape intoxicated the sculptor from the first time he saw it in 1896. French and his wife, Mary, traveling from New York on train and then horse and buggy, came up looking for a summer place. Mary's reaction to the town of Stockbridge, kind of like New Yorkers visiting today.
I don't know about you, but I'm staying here. And Dan looked out at that mountain, Monument Mountain to the south, and he said, this is going to be my paradise.
French came from a family of men who had led public lives. His father was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under President Rutherford B. Hayes. Later, his father served as the first president of the Massachusetts Agricultural College, the precursor of UMass Amherst. One of French's grandfathers was the Attorney General of New Hampshire. The other, the Chief Justice of the New Hampshire Supreme Court. Holzer says French's father had hoped both of his sons would pursue a career in law or public service. In a way, they did, but through art. Will, the oldest, became the first director of the Art Institute of Chicago. And as a teen, Daniel became interested in sculpting.
His father allowed him to sort of test his skills in front of May Alcott.
Yes, that Alcott. May was the youngest sister of author Louisa May Alcott and inspired the character Amy in Little Women. She was an artist and became Daniel French's first mentor.
And she said he's really talented, he's really gifted, he can have a life in art. And that's when his father became his biggest cheerleader.
French went on to become a prolific artist. He made the Minuteman statue in Concord, Massachusetts, John Harvard in bronze, gazing out on Harvard Yard, and the statue at the Lincoln Memorial. Even a century later, his work resonates.
One feels not only his reverence for Lincoln, but one feels Dr. King and the presidents-elect who go there on the evenings before their inaugurations. It's the backdrop for American aspiration, even though it had a terrible beginning.
Holzer explains the 1922 dedication of the memorial was painful for African Americans who arrived early because of their affection for Lincoln.
They were all rousted out of their seats by mounted police and moved to the back of the crowd on benches without backs and replaced by Confederate veterans in their tattered uniforms and treated really shabbily. The N-word was hurled around. And meanwhile, the only African American orator of the day had his remarks censored.
Holzer says there's no record of French's reaction to the ceremony's segregation or whether he was even aware of it. That summer, French returned to Chesterwood. In all, he spent more than 30 seasons here.
This place marks the dividing line between the striver and the success. He gets here and he makes it. It's not only the acquisition of the property and its use and its inspiration, it's the phase of his life when he emerges as the leading sculptor in the United States.
Daniel Chester French died upstairs in the residence in October 1931. He was 81. Chesterwood today still features gardens designed by French, a semicircle of stone benches hug a fountain, a path lined with hydrangea trees leads into the woods. It's a place that nurtured an artist whose work continues to speak to people today. For New England Public Radio, I'm Nancy Cohen.